Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be from 1 Corinthians 12:12-26. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for bringing us and gathering us here this morning. Lord, within the next few minutes, may you open our hearts and minds, and may we comprehend and listen to your words very carefully, and let us apply whatever we've learned in our lives. And not only that, but let's share that with others, with people who are really thirsty and are seeking and looking for something in their lives. We may find it impossible for some loved ones or some dear friends to come to you, but with you, Lord, everything is possible. With prayer, with the Bible, with your words, it is possible. Dear Lord, may you be with us after the service. May we have great fellowship with one another. And may you bless the rest of this day. In your blessed name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I've been thinking of the body and the relation of the body to my church. And I wanted sort of to understand better what my body, the physical body, and the body of Christ have in common. And then I said, okay, I can understand that the body of Christ is made of all kinds of people, blacks and whites, Armenians and Greeks, English and French, and poor and rich. But what about my body? My body is only one. And I wanted to sort of understand, how can I say that my body is made up or is a collection of members? But then I realized that my body is not a collection of members, but it's one body. And I started thinking about my little toe, and I said, when something happens to that little toe, my entire body suffers. My brain suffers. My heart, my mood, I lose my mood, and I become miserable. And any member of my body that suffers makes the entire body suffer. And I said, if that is the case, then what is happening in the church, in the body of Christ? And I realized that there was something wrong in the body of Christ. Not because the body of Christ is wrong, not because Christ cannot do it, not because faith in God does not help us do it, but because we want to be, we want to have our human rights, and we want to have our freedoms, and we want to have our democracy in the church, and we want to have all the things that please us as members of the body of Christ. And I realized that if my physical body did that, then I would be falling apart right now. If my heart said, okay, now I'm going to take a rest, get a rest. You slept, eyes, and you hands relaxed. But I have been working all my life in your body. No, that heart has to pump blood. And then my lungs could have complained. And then everything could have complained. And then I thought of the differences in the body of Christ, and I realized that my body also has differences. Not I, but there are people who have blue eyes or green eyes and blonde hair. I don't have those things. And they could have been very proud and say the blue eyes, oh, I'm blue, the rest of you is not so good looking, or my hair. No, there is no such a thing. It's one body. And the body of Christ should be the same way, I thought. And what is the difference between the body of Christ and the local church? There shouldn't be any difference. Because the local church is part of the body of Christ. And so I thought about that also. And I said, how could a local church be part of the invisible church, the body of Christ? And then I realized also that in order for my eye to work well, it's not only one thing. There are all kinds of little things in my eye working together in harmony. Part of my eye cannot say, no, I can't do this. No, everything is working together. So the local church is a member of the body of Christ, and the members, the individual Christians, are members of the local church, and so we should be making we are members of the body of Christ, and the head, of course, is Jesus Christ. But then again, when you listen to the radio, when you watch television, when you listen to people and they describe their local church being better, or the other one being black and the other one being Armenian congregation and Greek congregation, and all kinds of differences and not wanting to talk to each other, I say, the church needs healing. Because the body of Christ is one, made up of true believers who have rejected sin and have dedicated their lives to follow Christ. And the local church and the believers should be the followers of Christ, and not of a denomination, not of a priest, not of a hierarchy, but the Lord Himself. Because that's the only way that the body of Christ is going to function well. The human body is an illustration of unity and diversity. The body is one, yet has many members. Our human body members are all different, yet they work together for the health of the body. Apostle Paul uses the image of the body to explain Christ's relationship with the believers in verse 12. In the spiritual body, the church and all true believers in Jesus are members of the body of Christ. Although all members are different and perform different functions, yet They all work together to make one functioning unit, the body of Christ. The body of believers is called the church in Acts 2:47, is called the bride of Christ in Ephesians 5:30. It is called the temple of God in Ephesians 2:20. It is called the body of Christ in Ephesians 5:30. The spiritual gifts and functions given to the members are for the benefit of the whole body, the church, and not for private enjoyment of the individual Christian. And I thought about it a little more carefully, and I said, when someone who has been given the gift of singing, beautiful singing, for example, like Elise, and she says, okay, thank you, Lord, for this gift. Now I'm going to make my CDs, and I'm going to make a couple of DVDs, and no one can sort of copy them unless they pay me. And then she starts her own little ministry of selling. I would say she is misunderstanding the instructions that she's a member of the body of Christ. And what has been given to her is for the enjoyment of the entire body of believers. If a preacher preaches well, unlike me, and I didn't say like me, unlike me, and he becomes very famous and he starts charging $50,000 or $20,000 or even $2,000 for each sermon, then he has misunderstood the message and has misunderstood the body of believers. The gift of one person is for the enjoyment of the entire body of Christ. When the members of the body of Christ function well and have right attitudes, God is pleased. What are these right attitudes? First, there is individuality in the body. I'm not saying that we all are faceless, nameless people. God has given us names, or at least our parents have given us names, but God has given us individuality also. What we have in common is the body, the voice, and some of the very basics. And then we look at the spirituality or the spiritual part of our being. We all are baptized by one Spirit, regenerated by the Holy Spirit at the time of their conversion or our conversion. And what that verse meant or means is this: when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ and we confess our sins to Him and we invite Him to be our Lord and Savior, and we join the family of believers, or we are born in the family of believers, then we have the gift of being a member of the body of Christ. All are baptized into the one body. When one turns to Christ and believes in Him, he or she is born again and is made part of the body of Christ, as I said. All are given the one Spirit to drink. All believers receive the Holy Spirit as an indwelling person and the benefits of His ministry in their lives. And I believe some people have misunderstood even this part. They think that you can be a Christian and receive God in portions and in doses, if you wish. First you receive God the Father, and then you call yourself a God-fearing person, and then you accept Jesus Christ and invite Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and then you are a Christian. And then later on you receive the Holy Spirit and you call yourself a Spirit-filled person. But this is, there is a misunderstanding in the new birth. The moment someone invites Christ in his or her life and becomes a born-again believer and joins the family of believers, then he has God in him, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You cannot split them. You cannot divide them and receive them one by one. Second, what we have as individuals are, we still have our nature, temperament. And this morning we were discussing in our adult class some of the things each one of us has to face. And when I became a born-again believer or when I received Christ, most of me changed, but part of me remained the same thing. I had to deal with some of my characteristics or character. I had to deal with my likes and dislikes. So we still are. We don't become all uniform. We are united as members of the church, of the one body of Christ, but we still have our individuality. Secondly, we still have our personalities. Very few people lose completely their personality. We do not become building blocks, but rather living stones, the Bible says. In 1 Peter 2:5, we read, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." This morning, I would like to say that many have wanted to short-circuit or bypass God's will by desiring to be all things to all people. Don't be eager or desire to become someone else. God has created you the way you are, and God has blessed you the way He has blessed you, and God is going to use you the way you are, with your speech impediment, with your bad voice or beautiful voice, with your color of skin or with the color of your hair. Don't try to be someone else, because then God could have chosen someone else to do the job for Him. God has created you, has created me the way we are. You must accept yourself as God has made you and not what you want to be. I remember when I was growing up, I would say, "Why am I like this? Why God couldn't give me this kind of a hair or that kind of a body?" And all I had to struggle with that. And while counseling, some people would come and ask me, "Pastor, tell me something. I don't understand. Why did God made nice-looking people and ugly people, short people, tall people?" And you know, for some people, that's a struggle they have to go through. And God has blessed each one of us the way we are. We must accept who we are. There is no inferiority in the body of Christ. Verse 18 is a verse to remember and comforted by. It says, "But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be." I don't know about your body, but when somebody that no one sees and no one knows how it functions says, "Well, nobody recognizes me. It's always your face. It's always your eyes. It's always your ears, the color of your skin that people look at and say, 'Oh, beautiful hair,' or whatever." And the other member of the body who is not recognized says, "I'm going on strike," or "I'm going to complain. I want to change. I want to become your eyes." It will be impossible. It's a laughing thing. Well, that's how it is in the body of believers also. I cannot be what she is, and she cannot be what you are, but we all are who we are, and we ask God to help us be a blessing to everyone we come in contact with. We are members of the body. Let's function as members of the body and bring glory to the church and to others around us. We are gifted as it pleases Him. And again, we may want to choose some gifts that will bring glory to God. Someone may say, "Well, I want to be a preacher. I want to go around preaching and teaching, and I'm an evangelist." And they don't have the gift, and God called them to be a teacher, or God called them to be a carpenter, or God called him to be a plumber, or God called him to be a secretary, or whatever. And God, in his plans, has it that this secretary, this plumber, will meet people where he does his plumbing work, and people will come to know him, and people will be helped in our daily business. My wife and I, we run this shop. We come in contact with more people than in the church. Yes, in the church we have 50, 60, 100 people who come regularly, but we met you already, and we know who you are. But in the business place, in the marketplace, there are people who that we never met. The other day, two young men came there, and they were looking around, and they picked up a Bible, and when they picked, one of them picked it up, I said, "You can have it," and I gave him a couple of tracts, and he was very grateful. Now, that young man would never go through a church door, and he would never come here, but he came to our business. And because God has placed us there in that business, we were able to help this young man find more information, or receive more information. And maybe God, I hope God will lead him closer to him, bring him closer to him for his salvation. By serving together, we please our Lord. Now, a choir that is made of individuals who want to sing and they want to show their gift, or they want to show off their gifts, may become a cacophony rather than a choir and a beautiful a symphony, if you wish. And so a church that has individuals who want to show off their gifts, who want to show off their ability to do things, a church who has too many Indian chiefs and no Indians will not succeed, because God has created us the way we are for His purposes, and God will bless each one of us if we allow Him to use us where we are. By serving together, we please our God. The weak members are needed too. I don't believe that there is one human being in the church, in the body of Christ, that cannot be used by God. And I have in mind some people who are very weak and very sick, and who are unable to go out, and who are unable to walk, who are unable to even speak. And yet God is using them for His glory, and they do more good to others than those who are healthy and wealthy and have great gifts but never use them for His glory. So God is able to use even the weakest members of the body. All members but must be honored and respected. That is why I believe any church, any family who looks down at a weaker person will not succeed. Any church that has a hierarchy, and the hierarchy looks down at the simple, as far as they are concerned, the simple person, and says, "Oh, forget him, ignore, he hasn't done much in the church anyways," is missing the point. Every member in the body of Christ is needed to function in the area and in the place God has placed him or her. And then, third, there is to be intimate fellowship in the body. First was there is individuality in the body, and then there is no inferiority in the body. And third, there is to be intimate fellowship in the body. There should be no divisions in the body. And we at Temple here, at least we are trying to do that. We have asked the children and the older men and women to interact. And we have the men's breakfast and fellowship, and we have from the age of 13, 14, boys up to 70 and more, getting together and interacting. They, the older men learn from the young boys, and the young boys learn hopefully good things from the older men and young adults. So there should be no division in the body of Christ. We are to care for one another. And what happens to this person should concern me. For example, this week we had, well, last week, the news that one of our members called me to say that her grandson, 22-year-old man, had unfortunately killed himself. And that became very painful for us all, because we know the person and we know how much suffering that brings into a family. And we know that that family needs now the hugs and kisses and prayers of the other members of the body of Christ. And what happens to you must concern me, and what happens to me must concern you. And your joys must be my joys, and your sorrow must become my sorrow, because that's how the body functions. When I'm happy, my entire body is happy. My entire body enjoys that happiness, I should say. But if I'm suffering, the entire body feels that pain. We are to love one another. And again, we say, oh, well, yeah, I love. I love them all. It's the love of Christ that I have in my life. And you know what? That covers a lot of stuff. When I say, oh, yeah, the love of God, what I mean is, yeah, I don't hate the person. I don't want to kill the person. But I don't necessarily like the person. And I wouldn't even want to have a cup of coffee with that person, because that person gets to my nerves. Or that person has bad breath, or whatever it is. We always have some reason why we love the person, but we don't want to be with that person. And you know what? If my body would react the same way, my beautiful eyes or my beautiful fingers or my beautiful things would resent the other parts of my body who don't smell so nice and are not so well recognizable. So the body of Christ is made up with all kinds of people who have to be loved and appreciated. We suffer when another member suffers. We rejoice when another member is honored. Of course, I see that when there are competitions in the churches, and when you have two groups, and when you have individual games, and when someone loses, starts arguing, oh no, that's not fair, that was mine, that I answered that question better, and then all of a sudden, all that love, all that compassion, all that interest about the welfare of others goes down the drain, and all we start doing is complaining and blaming the referee or someone else. And you know what? What happens to the Christian love? The body of Christ must rejoice when the other person, when the members of that body of Christ, must rejoice when others get honored rather than they do. Let us not forget that what affects one member affects all. This is a well-known fact in the human body. When one part of the body is sick, the whole body is affected. This is also true in the spiritual body. If one suffers, we all suffer. If one member grows in strength, we all receive help. What happens when we function as a body? We become like the first century church. The Bible says in the book of Acts, we read that they loved each other so much, and they cared for each other so much. And they were so interested in each other's welfare that even they sold whatever they had and they got together and they started living a communal life. Although they misunderstood the whole concept of loving each other, and yet we see the love and the compassion for each other in that first church. Thousands were converted, churches were established, and the Lord was praised and glorified. And because of these few fishermen and carpenters and tax collectors and sinners who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and followed Him and His instructions, we are here this morning sitting and listening to the words that come from the Bible. And that we have the Bible, the New Testament, because of these people who remain so faithful. Thousands were converted, churches were established. Could that happen today? Yes, it could. And we see that happening in third world countries, and we see that happening in other countries. As I often say, in China, there are more born-again, spirit-filled believers than are anywhere else. In Korea, in Latin America, in other. But then when you turn around and you go to other continents where they started spreading the word of God in the past, compromising and lowering the standards has destroyed the church, or about to destroy the church. Could this happen today? Why not? It could happen here at Temple if we all unite and become functional members of the body of Christ and become functional members of the local church, and we follow Christ and we look out for each other and the interests of others. And we ask God to help us and show us how we can be more fruitful and productive. Then we will be blessed as they were, as the first church was. May God help us see the need to humble ourselves and let Him change us and prepare us for His glory. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you so much for being so loving, so patient, and so compassionate. Please be with us this morning. Help us while we'll be going downstairs to for a lunch to demonstrate that love and the compassion for each other. And then take this love and the compassion and bring it outside this building and reach out and touch as many people as we can with the good news of eternal life in heaven, but also the good news of joy and happiness and forgiveness and peace while we are still here. In your blessed name I pray. Amen.